So picture this. You're standing in front of President Obama. You're working for the CIA, and you have to tell him whether or not there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And 5 million people are going to die as a consequence of this action. How do you know what to do? Well, lucky for you, Masterclass has a course that's done by the head of the CIA on how to handle these everyday situations. So we're going to learn from the best how to do this stuff. Because like literally last week, I needed to.
It was hard. Yeah.
Do we want to think about scrambling aircraft?
They open with 9/11.
I was about to make a joke saying, is this POV 9/11?
It's the CIA guys being like, this is how we did it.
God, I don't know.
It's a new type of war. That's what it is.
This is a new type of war. It's so funny. The country that's just bombing every single country in the world be like, well, this is a new thing now that our country's got hit by something.
Yeah, it's a new kind of war because they're bombing us back.
They've invented something new. Consequences.
This class is for anyone because much of what you learn at CIA is applicable to everyday life, your career, to a business you might work in or run.
Imagine actually being this guy, deputy director, like second in charge of the CIA, and you have to like fucking sell your, like, this is crazy. He's like, yeah. Well, this is how I can teach you how to better manage your auto parts business. It's just like, dude, America's crumbling. If this guy is doing that, surely the government would set you up forever to never have to do something like this.
Yeah, but
like, if he's doing this, we could pay him to tell us all the secrets.
Well,
like, you shouldn't leave the head of intelligence in a position where they need to do this kind of job.
I think they're paying a lot, and I think
only China could pay him.
I think Masterclass is just CIA.
Oh yeah, they're still working. Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm Michael Morell, former deputy director of CIA.
I'm Don Myricks, former Deputy Director of CIA for Science and Technology.
I'm Brian Carbaugh, former Director of CIA's Special Activities Center.
And this is Masterclass.
Like the fucking Power Rangers. This is insane.
It's Masterclass.
I was not expecting people this high up. I mean, why stop here? They should be like doing sponsorships for McFlurries or like the fucking secret sauce.
It's two old beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
I know a lot about secret sauce, and then
I want like people like Abu Baghdadi. What's his name?
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
Yeah, give me some like high profile terrorists. Just keep going.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Give me the dodgies.
Yeah, I want to learn how to do 9/11. Wait, what is this? This is like The Incredibles.
I love this. Yeah, that was very cool.
Why didn't they have anything this good for like Hillary Clinton or George Bush or George Clinton? Bill Clinton.
I was deputy director and two-time acting director of the CIA, but I started my career as an analyst. People like to say that intelligence analysis is like connecting dots. It implies that it's easy. Intelligence analysis is really hard. I think of it much more as putting a puzzle together.
He's like, it's not that easy. It's actually like this other thing that people do for fun.
That's
like,
really...
to unwind from their actual jobs.
America's depending on me.
I gotta do this puzzle of 9/11. Who's the mastermind?
George, it's me.
No.
To determine if someone's lying to you, first, you have to understand that person's baseline behavior. So it's the way the person demonstrates who they really are in response to typical, standard, everyday questions. On the counterterrorism side, after 9/11, the early days in Afghanistan, word certainly got out that the United States was being highly aggressive in our pursuit of bin Laden.
That's so funny to be doing in Afghanistan, a place where none of these people are. None of the people you're chasing are there. He's just like, I was a CIA agent, put in this place where, like, obviously I wasn't going to find any terrorists because it's a random country.
But also, you're interviewing what? farmers yeah. and you're an American that doesn't speak the language, you're not ever going to, you know, create a baseline of trust and genuine friendship here. They'll be like, yes, you have a gun on you and you've invaded my country. It's like, I know something's wrong here.
In Afghanistan, we were sitting on carpets and he would sit and position his leg over top of a pillow and would sit pretty calm. But when he would share that, oh, he had, you know, very sensitive information about senior Al-Qaeda Arabs, he would start to...
Senior Al-Qaeda Arabs. What a strange thing to specify. I've got information about Arabs.
And as I would move away from the questions, the answers of which I really had an interest in and get back to more traditional stuff, he would sort of calm back down. So that combined with the number of repeated follow-up questions he would ask me, you start to realize then that this is someone who's fabricating his access and fabricating details, that access to which he never really had in the first place.
Yeah, because you go into a fucking random country where no one that you're looking for is there. You go in there and you say, I'll give you money if you tell us about this.
Or you're threatening their fucking village and their family.
We'll bomb you.
You're going to be like, yeah, I'm actually important, please.
Yeah. If you kill me, if you kill this random farmer, you're going to lose a lot of information. of course.
Before I joined the CIA, I worked as a technologist for over 30 years in the private and public sectors, including for AOL and NASA. But there were times when I thought, this is not for me, because it was tough sometimes to be the only woman in the room. I wore baggy suits and I put my hair in a bun and I wore glasses because the fact that I was a young woman technologist was unusual. One of my deputies used to say we did everything from makeup to spacecraft and everything in between.
You're Q.
You're Q.
That's right.
You're Q?
You were Q.
Oh, I thought she's going through this like big thing. Like it was so hard to like break out of the shackles of being just seen just as like a bimbo in this like male dominated field, and they were like, yeah, you're pretty hot. You know what, Wood, you're cute. Yeah, you are cute.
Oh, you said they said cute.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were saying.
The part of Q that most people associate are the communications devices, you know, the talking in your sleeve, you know, to be Flip, Maxwell Smart talking into his shoe.
But surely this is like the cancer ray gun or something. Like,
yeah,
this isn't just communications. It was all the freaky shit. They like, you know, they put like the poison powder in Castro's swimsuit. And like,
yeah,
they should be doing the crazy stuff.
Well, they are. They're not allowed to talk about that. That's why they're like, oh, the thing they know me for is the telephone, not pager bombs.
Yeah.
Nothing like that.
Forget about that. It's the shoe telephone.
The team from the Director of Science and Technology who do disguises are miracle workers. They decided to sort of use round glasses on my face, right? Because you want to break up the contours of your face. You want to try to change it, if not the color, then the shape or style of your hair. The necessity of really preparing a thorough alias background, understanding your alias address, your entire persona.
How is this relevant to a business owner? They don't need to know, like, oh, yes, my fake alias that I created this business. If you're a shell, making shell companies and smuggling money.
Yeah, the random guy running an auto parts shop or, like, any kind of small businessman is just like, hey, round glasses to make a disguise.
Remember my address.
Considering that I was an actual imposter when I was undercover, it's kind of funny that I've struggled with imposter syndrome in my life.
That's the segue? How to handle imposter syndrome as a man who wears disguises? This is so strange.
I sometimes feel like I'm an imposter.
I feel like I'm not really an Arab.
It's really...
This is how I deal with that. It's just like, this is such a long straw. This makes no sense.
But to be fair to him, that's the real form of imposter syndrome. Like all these
other... He's been paid to be an imposter.
Yeah.
If he actually gets over the imposter syndrome, he's completely useless to the CIA because now he's suddenly a businessman in the Middle East. Like, you don't want to get over that.
Because they'll be like, tell us. And they'll be like, what?
I don't know the CIA. I'm a businessman. I'm not an imposter. Excuse me. I have very important work to do. Exporting.
Need to go back to my job.
What I learned is the importance of owning it. Like, be confident. Believe in yourself. Have that positive self-talk where you're reassuring yourself all along that this is working, this
it. You are an imposter. You can't use those strategies because it's coming from a man who is an imposter.
No, but he's talking about double imposter syndrome. He's talking about he's an imposter. So he's like looking at the other imposters and he's like, oh, am I a good imposter? Like,
we've used that word so much.
I'm like, he's got imposter syndrome for being an imposter. So he's like, oh, am I good imposter? Look, I see the
other imposters. Stop saying that. I don't know what that means.
And the other imposters are so good at being imposters.
And a disguise doesn't have to be a physical one.
Right.
It can also be psychological. Picture yourself the way you want to be seen.
I'm an Arab man. I'm an Arab man.
When I was acting director, I had to look Obama in the eye and tell him that we were losing in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We were having a series of meetings with the president and his senior advisors so that he could make a decision on what the U.S. troop level should be in Afghanistan. Obviously, incredibly important issue.
Yeah, and then he decided they need more. I love that. All this big room of experts, and this guy be like, I had to tell him the best thing to do was stay in there for another 20 years.
That's why they give me the puzzles to solve.
We seem to be losing Afghanistan. Bring in the quiz master.
One view was that we were losing. That since the Taliban reemerged in 2005, 2006, that we had steadily lost ground to them. And the second point was that if we had no U.S. troops in Afghanistan and we were in this room having a conversation about the national security issues related to Afghanistan, would we decide to send troops now?
Do we just let the country go and then not have a problem? Or do we just make more of a problem?
But it's also just like, you'd be thinking about it as much as you're thinking about the security situation of Burundi. You know, yeah. Like it's just not a thing because you haven't invaded this random country.
But also what makes it a thing is the fact that you keep invading it and you keep troops there is the only reason why you're now a target for extremists in Afghanistan. So the best thing to do is pull out, maybe even just apologize and give everyone a lot of money. And be like, please, we are sorry.
Yeah. If the president is this man that he's explaining, this man is just like wants information on how to make the best decisions. The CIA funded these guys.
Yeah.
You got the CIA guy being in there being like, yeah, you got to put more troops in.
Yeah.
Surely you'd stop listening to them at some point.
After 12 years of war and so many lives lost, I knew there might be some strong reactions to our analysis. It takes courage not to be swayed by the president of the United States or the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Or the head of all U.S. troops in Afghanistan.
It's so funny that you made the wrong decision and you're just like, and no one even influenced me. It was all me. Yeah. Like, I made the mistake all by myself.
We watched another masterclass where it's like they talked about the same decision of sending in more troops. And it's like you're just admitting to doing horrible, horrible things in this inspirational business class.
But because they're being paid to like be the person imparting the lesson, they have to pretend that they're the ones who did it. Yeah. It's just the best 5 million people. That was me.
That was me. I did
that
it.
That was me. 5 million people dead.
One of the things that I have to do in this job is sometimes tell you things that you might not want to hear but need to know. And that's important whether you're talking to the president or you're talking to your spouse or you're talking to your business partner.
Margaret, we're losing it. God, I hate this.
If sponsorships are good enough for the head of the CIA, it's good enough for us, and that's why we'd love to tell you about the sponsor of today's video, Odoo, the all-in-one management software. Our favorite aspect is Odoo's project application, which is a comprehensive and flexible project manager solution that enables individuals and businesses to track project progress, deadlines, and resources while collaborating in real time. The best part is you can choose between these three attractive views. Number one, Kanban. This organizes tasks by stage, which you can move around like sticky notes, which keeps your pipeline well organized. Number two, Gantt. This view is a timeline that gives you an overview of your tasks, their dependencies, and scheduled dates. Number three, List, which is a simple list which displays all the data you need. You can also perform batch actions, which is both simple and also powerful. Within each task, you have the chatter where you can send emails and log notes and schedule activities like calls, to-dos, meetings, and more. All these features let you collaborate more efficiently by centralizing and managing information in one place and allowing you to collaborate in real time with multiple colleagues. The number one best part is it's absolutely free. Odoo allows you to manage your projects for free with its lifetime free first app offer, including unlimited hosting and support. So what are you waiting for? Click the link in the description to get Odoo today.
In any kind of decision making, there are analytic biases. Bias is a filter that you put information through that leads you to the wrong conclusion.
You can't laugh every time you see a picture of 9/11.
They do it so much. And what pisses me off is that I can't show anything from 9/11 on YouTube. You guys don't know what this is. You can't see what we're looking at because we can't show this stuff on YouTube. It's a picture of 9/11. In the torture video, I had the most horrific stuff. Man talking about being like sodomized every single day by a prison guard, like a little animation of that. Just a picture of a building with smoke on it. That's too far.
But what we can show for some reason is it an Indian tile commercial?
The concrete ad.
The concrete
ad. I've used every single time I've referenced 9/11 in our videos, I've used an Indian concrete ad.
Here it is again.
Which you're probably looking at right now, yeah. To be fair. You're probably watching it right now because we can't show you this picture. But the amount of times they fucking jump scared us with 9/11 in this video, it's just like they're showing off.
The United States government says you should be on alert because new terror attacks could come at any moment.
President Bush is deeply concerned about terrorists getting their hands on weapons of mass destruction. In Iraq, we had a government that had relationships with terrorist groups.
They knew there were no weapons of mass destruction. They're still trying to justify it.
He was the only one who didn't know because he was doing puzzles all day. We didn't know. I don't know what everyone else was talking about. I had no idea.
And also, once had weapons of mass destruction, had a chemical weapons program, actually used chemical weapons against the Iranians and against their own people.
Yeah, you gave it to them. That was the war that you guys fucking did. It's crazy. They were backing both sides, giving everyone all the shit they wanted.
Well, that's how like, they know they had them.
President Bush deeply concerned that Iraq could give its weapons of mass destruction that we thought they had to Al-Qaeda. Colin Powell presented that report to the UN Security Council.
It's just crazy how bad they fucked up that country.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy because Iraq was, like, considerably more developed than Afghanistan as well. It's like you get into it and you're, like, laughing at the video and you're like, oh, wait a minute, this guy, like, the guy we're actually watching, like, just fucked up all these people's lives.
At least this guy died from colon cancer or whatever.
No, it was just his name. His name was just Colin Powell.
Yeah, but he died from colon cancer.
No, we did this in a previous reaction and we were wrong. You've confused his name with his method of death.
Oh, okay.
How did Colin Powell die? COVID.
Oh, what?
It's just because his name's Colin.
Whatever. I'm holding on to that.
It's essentially why we went to war in Iraq. Turns out we were wrong. Turns out Saddam Hussein, the leader of Iraq, the dictator of Iraq, did not have weapons of mass destruction. He did not have chemical weapons. He did not have biological weapons. He was not reconstituting his nuclear weapons program. We thought all three of those things. The hardest thing for an analyst to understand are the intentions of a foreign leader.
It's just so stupid just lying in this thing when you're already an irrelevant man.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's like, no, you wanted to invade Iraq. Yeah. There are other reasons to invade Iraq.
Yeah. Also, you have weapons of mass destruction, which you use on everyone. So can we invade you? Can everyone invade America?
And we got the analysis wrong because four or five different kinds of analytic bias came together. In a very rare way.
The first bias was, we wanted oil. We wanted to steal their oil. I keep forgetting this is about our day-to-day life. I think this is actually exciting because they're talking about actual stuff the CIA's done. And I'm like, oh, wait, this is meant to be for someone to learn something.
Yeah, learn from your mistakes.
Are you really toppling a regime because you think they have weapons of mass destruction?
It's very relevant to my business.
Yeah.
We knew he had chemical weapons. We knew he had a nuclear weapons program. So we filtered everything we saw in the aftermath of that through that filter.
So much of this is absurd because, like, they knew he didn't have it. But then let's say they didn't. You know how many other countries out there have these weapons?
Yeah.
You can invade India? Like, why is Iraq the important one here? Like, is it possibly because we had other reasons for invading that country? Yeah. No, we just want to make sure Iraq specifically doesn't have the weapon. Everyone else can have them. This country, this one cannot.
We also had something that I call pendulum bias. We actually missed the nuclear weapons program the first time around. It was much further along than we thought. So we didn't want to make that mistake again. So the pendulum swung too far back.
What would you want to say?
He's talking about it the same way someone talks about, like, why they lost $10 on a bet. Like, well, yeah, I thought the Lakers won last time, so the Lakers have got to win again this time. Like, no, you're talking about invading a fucking country.
The last bias is mirror imaging. Mirror imaging is when you say, here's what I would think if I were Saddam.
We are currently the worst country in the world and we're incredibly violent. We love to invade countries. If Saddam was us, we should probably stop him. If Saddam was us, that sounds like the kind of guy you'd want to, like, stop.
Yeah.
Just like telling yourself, being that stupid.
Yeah.
If he thought like us, he's probably evil.
what the analysts thought was that Saddam would never give up these weapons because they would never give them up if they were Saddam.
If the CIA had this stuff, we would use it on civilians immediately. So we have to stop Saddam, so who is us.
I really hope one day they take this mirror imaging so far that they find out that they're bad and they just bomb themselves.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. It'd be amazing.
I was in the chain of command for the judgment that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. And, you know, had we gotten that right, from both a collection and an analytic perspective, maybe we wouldn't have gone to war.
There is no way you wouldn't have gone to war.
Yeah, it was the right decision, and it was all good for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Invading Iraq's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
They got to get rid of Saddam Hussein. They got to get all the oil, and now they fucking have bases in the Middle East. And they get to create ISIS after that. The perfect operation.
So that's something that I have to carry with me the rest of my life.
If you really cared about that mistake, there's no way you'd be doing a masterclass. Like, I'm responsible for the deaths of 5 million people. Here's what you can learn from me. I obviously thought a lot about the mistakes I made.
No, if he actually cared, he would kill himself.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
People that came with solutions fared much better in their careers. When you are presenting a problem, always present a solution.
None of this is what truth to power means.
No.
This is just how to do your job if your boss is powerful.
Yeah. The only point I like there is provide solutions for presenting problems. That's a good point. Yeah.
The biggest change that came out of the Iraq weapons of mass destruction analytic failure was putting much more emphasis on levels of confidence, requiring analysts to think rigorously about how confident they were in a judgment.
I love that. The takeaway from Iraq is ask the analysts, are you sure?
Yeah.
Think about it a little bit more. A little bit more thinking. Now we implemented CIA, the are you sure policy. When you think something,
are you sure?
If you had pressed the analyst on how confident they were on Iraq and weapons of mass destruction, they would have told you that they were not that confident.
I love that. They have weapons of mass destruction. Are you sure? No.
No. I don't know.
Not really. You got to press them because they'll tell you a different thing.
This is making them sound so incredibly stupid.
When we caught Saddam Hussein, he told us that he gave them up with the intent of us knowing that he had given them up so that we would take sanctions off. But he actually didn't want to say so because he wanted to continue to have the Iranians think that he had them.
I like it. He was trying to do the right thing, though, in terms of he just wanted his country to be able to have food.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I'll get rid of the weapons program. Please get rid of the sanctions. And the best we can do is bomb you for decades. It's so funny because we all look at North Korea and all the other countries being like, why do they have these weapons programs? Why are they being such a threat to the world? It's like, well, obviously, if you get rid of them, immediately a guy like this is going to be like, we have to kill them all.
No, if you get rid of them, immediately this guy will say, you have them.
Suddenly you have weapons and I have to kill you.
Yeah.
He had more confidence in the CIA than we ended up demonstrating.
We're even dumber than Saddam Hussein. We're so stupid.
We're so dumb.
Not even this like third world nationalist regime could realize how fucking dumb we are.
If only he just sent a photo of him throwing the weapons in the bin, none of this would have happened, you know?
Is this what people are meant to think?
And then why are we listening to a masterclass from the dumbest people in the world?
The May 1st operation on Abbottabad directed at Osama bin Laden involved teams of analysts and operators from across the U.S. government, the FBI, the CIA.
It's like 700 meters from Pakistani military academy.
What, where he was?
Yeah, yeah. In Abbottabad. It's like, hide somewhere else, dude, please. He's like, no, I'm hiding right here. Everybody quiet. Osama, this is going to sound like bullshit. Please, anywhere, just go away.
Just, yeah.
No, I'm hiding.
Our assessments, based on satellite imagery, on-the-ground intelligence, and other means, had zeroed in on a location with high walls, barbed wire, and covered windows. Could the figure, often seen pacing in the courtyard, be bin Laden?
Well, the fact that he is 6'6", dead giveaway.
100%. Who is that tall in fucking Pakistan?
The great Kali is wandering around, or it's Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
The top analyst tasked with finding bin Laden looked the president in the eye and said 95%. And I told the president that I was only 60% certain. And Obama turned and said, Michael, does that mean you would not do this?
And I said, no, I would absolutely do this.
Because there are literally no consequences. Yeah. The last time I was wrong, 5 million people died and nothing happened. I still have the job. So of course I'd do this. There's no reason to not do that. I don't think it's there. Would you still invade? Yeah, obviously.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
We either get Osama bin Laden or the Great Khali. It's one of them.
And it doesn't matter which one dies. Yeah. That's the best part about it. We rule the world. I can be wrong forever.
President Obama was willing to take the enormous risk of sending the SEALs to Abbottabad to see if bin Laden was there, the enormous risk to the lives of those SEALs, the enormous risk to the U.S.-Pakistani relationship, the enormous risk to U.S. reputation. He was willing to take all that risk because the potential payoff was so high if we went and we got bin Laden. In everyday life, people take hundreds of risks. What we're talking about here in terms of risk management is relevant to every person on the planet.
I love their segues are actually amazing. I wasn't completely sure if Osama bin Laden was at Abbottabad and a couple of SEALs might have died if I was wrong. How are you going to do your shopping list today?
Yeah, it's so funny.
So what do we think of Masterclass?
Terrifying. This is a first for me.
Yeah.
This is a first
for me. Me too. Never thought I'd do something like this.
Yeah.
Just the number of parallels between what we did in CIA and how that crosses over into what we're doing now and what people experience in their everyday lives.
This is like textbook of the shit we have to do for sponsorships. And it's so humiliating that the biggest intelligence organization in the world is like, yeah, that's why Odoo is very important to us. Well, actually, that is why Odoo is really important.
Yeah, it
to
is.
Us. Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
It's the all in one business management software, just like CIA.
Yeah.
All in one.
Yeah.
It's so funny because this is same as every masterclass in that, like, the thing that makes the CIA masterclass interesting is the fact that they have killed and done so many horrific things, but then they're not allowed to talk about it. And then what they can talk about is this man just admitting all his fucking failures.
Yeah, yeah. And we have to present it as a failure so you're not like, we are the most evil institution in the world.
Yeah.
We're like, we're just dumb guys. I guess you still want to learn from us for some reason.
And this has nothing to do with running a business or anything.
No. I did learn. What did I learn? What did I learn? I learned he said something really good.
Provide a solution to
a problem. Yeah. That's like your basic like business 101 course or something.
Yes.
I mean, I learned something.
Yeah, that is good.
I'm also just makes me kind of confused about CIA in general because, like, I'm looking at this guy and, like, I'm assuming he's just lying the whole time. But do they have just, like, a front man, like a really dumb guy front man?
Yeah, probably. A bit like George Bush.
Like, it's public knowledge that they knew that there were no weapons. So he is lying.
He is lying.
Kind of funny that he's finished his job, he's retired, but he has to keep going around pretending to be like, I'm the dumbest guy in the world. I just keep getting it wrong. It's just like, bro, your job's over. Just chill out.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's
like, or I think he is just that dumb.
Yeah. He was the one guy that they didn't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Remember those weapons, man? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I got to tell the president. It's all up to me. He's not trying to be funny?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you have to spend a lot of money to get this car.
Give them
money. There's a lot of things go into this too.
I don't think they bought the car for the video clip. I think people buy the car because they like the car.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, either you're doing a parody and you spend a lot of money, or you're a real person. Probably more likely.
I think she loves Elon Musk.
SpaceX life, Tesla self-drive, Starlink beams with laser dreams. He's got a master plan for our lives.
They're such inconsistent cucks. They're just like, oh yeah, liberty and freedom. And also this tech billionaire has a master plan for me.
I like the guy that does Neuralink.
Yeah, I like that he's going to put chips freedom, in my brain. Yeah,
freedom, chips in my brain. But it's like self-driving cars. What is a good use for self-driving cars?
Maybe drink driving?
Yeah, drink driving. Watching porn while you're driving.
Yeah.
There is no reason for a self-driving car unless it's like if every single car is self-driving, maybe they all move at exactly the same time, eliminating traffic.
And that's just a train.
It's a train.
And you don't need cars anymore.
No.
And they're just an inefficient version of a train.